Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Happy Palm Sunday. As I start the announcements this morning, I'm going to ask the Kids Church kids to sneak on in the back real quick while I do announcements and get a palm. And then you can, I don't know if they'll have some more, they might have more instructions for you back there when you grab that. Awesome. Well, good morning. If this is your first time visiting with us, welcome. My name is Seth Johns. I'm the youth pastor here at Community Christian Fellowship. And we do have a gift for you. If you go out these doors here and take a right, you'll see the countertops that we mention a lot of times. We have a lot of different flyers for the different events and things going on. I even have a couple here that I'll hold up when we get to them. But on that counter, we have a gift for you. There's white gift bags there. It's a gift for you. And there's a little piece of paper in there that says Connect Card that you can fill out and hand into the office. That helps us get to know you a little bit. And hopefully start a great connection there as well. A few announcements this morning. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday, and we are excited for it. 8:30 in the morning, we will have our family breakfast in the multi-purpose room. At 9:45, we're going to have the egg hunt. And youth students, if you're here at least by 9 to help us get some eggs out, that would be a great help. And then we have our Sunday morning service starting in here at 10:30 a.m. So we do have flyers that you can still give out to family and friends as you leave, just on that little table there on the left. Feel free to continue to invite people to come. It's a great time. One note for next week, there's no kids' church on Easter Sunday, so elementary kids will remain in the service with their parents, but the nurseries and preschool child care will still be available during that time. Awesome. We have the Ladies' Spring Lunch coming up Saturday, April 26th at 11 a.m. here in the church multipurpose room. There's going to be great food, fellowship, and hearing from God's word. So it's going to be a great time. I think you can still sign up out there in the lobby. We have a congregational meeting following the morning service of Sunday, April 27th. We're going to go into a little bit more about the expansion and whatnot. So make sure you mark your calendars and you're here following the service on the 27th for that. Guys, Man Day is coming up Saturday, May 10th at the Holtry Pond in Newville. We have flyers that look like this, and I want to congratulate the guys because when we put these out here, I thought, man, that's way too many flyers, but we ran out and had to print more. So, men, you're doing a good job out there using the flyers. but they have a whole bunch of great stuff there that day, fishing, archery, boating, clay bird shooting, great food and fellowship with speaker Mark Anderson. So if you guys have any questions, reach out to John Holtry. We're going to have a child dedication on Mother's Day, May 11th. It'll be during our morning worship service. So if you have a child that you'd like to have dedicated here at the church to the Lord, reach out to Pastor Glenn and let him know. The Capital Area Pregnancy Center has a Shot at Life taking place May 3rd. At Central Penn Sporting Clays in Wellsville, there's opportunities for participants as well as sponsors. We have flyers for that that look just like this slide out there in the lobby as well. We have a missions trip opportunity coming up Saturday, May 17th to the Hannah Neal House in Philadelphia. Contact Jason Lentz if you are interested, have any more questions. Or if you're ready to participate, it's going to be a work trip. They're looking for individuals 18 and older who would like to lend their time and hands painting, repairing, and fixing up other things on this building that they're working at the Hannah Neal House Ministry. So we do have flyers out there in the lobby if you grab these for more information. I believe it has, yes, it's got Jason's contact info on there as well. So you can reach out for that. Hey. One more thing this morning, as far as announcements goes, we have our Grandparenting Seminar Summit coming up here very soon, so direct your attention to the screens real quick.
Hi, I'm Sue Oster.
And I'm Jeff Oster, Sue's husband, and together we have five grandchildren, three are local, and two are distant.
We prided ourselves in having good relationships with our grandchildren until last fall when we completed a six-week seminar on grandparenting matters. What an eye-opener.
The seminar we attended focused on a concept called intentional grandparenting. And that's how Christian grandparents can help contribute to the spiritual and overall well-being of our grandkids. We also learned better ways to support our adult children as they raise their children, our grandchildren.
Because we were so inspired by what we learned, we wanted to find a way to bring this program to CCF. Under Pastor Glenn's guidance, we joined forces with several other people who shared our very sentiments. As a result, this six-week seminar will be presented at CCF beginning Sunday, April 27th at 6 p.m. and ending on June 1st.
Now, let's listen to a video from the Legacy Coalition giving us some background on the program.
One of the highlights for me is grandparenting and having that opportunity. We were a little bit older when we became grandparents, but I just wanted it, you know, in my heart, wanted it to be a priority and have an influence.
We are starting to recognize that it will not be the White House that changes our nation. It'll be my house, our homes. And here we can have influence and touch our grandchildren with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're very passionate about that.
Please join us starting April 27th. God bless you all, and God bless our very, very precious children and grandchildren.
God bless them.
Awesome. So they'll be out there in the lobby after the service if you want to get signed up and register. Only $5 a person, but it's going to be a great time. Hey, at this time, would you all please stand with me as we prepare our hearts to worship God with a word of prayer? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning on this Palm Sunday, God, as we think about the entering of the Messiah, Jesus entering into this time, God. And we prepare for Easter Sunday next Sunday. God, would you just prepare our hearts this morning? Would we make ourselves less so that you could be greater this morning, God? Will we be able to focus fully on you and leave our cares out the door and just be on you this morning? Be with us as we sing songs together. Would they just be a praise and glorifying sound to your ears? And God, be with us as we open up your word. Would we be challenged to live our lives according to it? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Palm Sunday to all of you. We know that at that first Palm Sunday, the crowd was there thinking that they were celebrating a political king. I don't think the children really had any concept of that. I think they were just excited to see Jesus coming through. But today, we look forward to our coming king as we sing Hosanna. Miss Carrie, do the kids know what they're supposed to do? Okay, kids, you're going to walk around the room. Sounds good. Let's worship the Lord together. Sing praise. For you, Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. Sing together, rejoice.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say rejoice.
This next verse, let's just have the men, his kingdom. All right, now it's time for the ladies. He sits.
He sits at God's right hand till all his foes submit and bow to his command and fall beneath his feet. Lift up your heart. Lift up your voice. Rejoice again. I say,
everybody join us on the last verse.
Rejoice in glorious hope, Jesus the judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say.
Lift up your heart.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay.
He leads me. Be the prayer of our hearts. It's a dangerous prayer to pray. But Lord, may we be open to your following, wherever that may lead us. because we know and we have assurance that one day it will lead us to glory. Thank you for those promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
Push there. Oh, look at that. All right. Sorry, Lincoln. I'll get it one of these days, buddy. All right. Okay. All right. Hey, good morning. Good to see you all here. Exciting time of year as we reflect on all that Jesus came to do for us. Wow. We're going to talk about that this morning. That song that we ended with, those songs on following Jesus, Jesus is going to talk about that in the passage we're in today. But very appropriate for what I want to share with you here. We have a video of a young lady who graduated from high school last year, Maddie Wibley. Maddie, her mom, Krista's right back there. Wave your hand. She's there. Okay. All right. All right. Maddie is a student at Pitt. We won't hold that too much against her. You Penn State fans, I know, yeah, okay. But no, but you know, the great thing is she's gotten involved at Pitt in CRU, which for some of us who are older know that's Campus Crusade for Christ, right? But that's what they're called today. And she's really gotten involved. And the Lord's done some great things in her life. And she's going on a mission trip this summer. And so she's going to talk to us about that. So let's show that right now.
Hi everyone, my name is Madeline Wibley and I'm currently a freshman at the University of Pittsburgh. Community is my hometown church. I've been going there for about 7 years now. I wanted to come home to speak, but I got asked to lead a freshman Bible study next semester, and so I have a leadership meeting that I have to attend. But since being involved in CRU, it has been such an incredible opportunity and experience, and I have got asked and provided the opportunity to go on a 5-week missions trip to Zagreb, Croatia. CRU's vision is that everyone everywhere would know someone who knows Jesus and follows the gospel and knows the gospel. And so this is gonna be a really cool opportunity. I'm going with my staff here from Pittsburgh CRU, and we're joining with a bunch of other college students from around the country to go to Croatia. In Croatia, we're going to be doing ministry and outreach on the college campuses in Croatia. And we're also going to be partnering with the CRU that's in Croatia, also known as Focus. And we're going to be helping their leaders. They only have 2 leaders to reach 70,000 college students. And so we're going to be doing outreach with their leaders and also connecting with the college students that are involved in Focus. If you're interested, I'm looking to raise $5,300 to participate on this missions trip and trusting that the Lord will provide that. If you're willing to give or want to give, you can give through my giving page, which is linked in my support letter. My mom's going to be handing those out after church if you're interested in more information. I would also love for this trip to be backed up in prayer. So even if you can't give and could just pray over me and my heart as I go, and just the hearts of those that we're going to reach, would be so great. And I will be home the end of this month to talk. And if you have any questions, feel free to, we can talk then. Thank you so much.
Hey, that's what we're all about. That's so exciting to see these things happening. You know, often we don't hear what goes on after kids leave here, and just so happy to hear that's happening in her life. She was on a missions trip, actually, during spring break, too, down in Florida, witnessing on beaches. So, hey, pray for Maddie. If you would be so inclined to consider supporting her, her mom will be out in the foyer at the end of the service, so you can get information there. And so let's just pray here together for her and for this trip. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that in the midst of craziness at some of our major universities in the U.S., the gospel's going out and Christian kids are getting serious and really living for you. And I thank you for Maddie, Lord, and seeing that in her. And I just pray, Lord, for her, and she seeks support. Thank you that Lord, even in her testimony, not being able to be here today to be leading a freshman Bible study, just good things. And we just pray for her protection. We know the evil one would try to discourage. But we pray, Lord, also for your supply and just for your encouragement and all these things. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, that's what we're all about. Yep. Hey, today we're not back in Philippians. We're done. Okay. You can keep reading it. It's always good to read it again. But we're in John chapter 12 today. This is Palm Sunday. As you know, this is the day we celebrate Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey. There's very much significance to that, of course, in an Old Testament prophecy that the king would come riding on a donkey. And so Jesus fulfills that. The people in Jerusalem were there gathered. There was many people gathered there to celebrate Passover. The city was jammed with visitors. So Jesus, as he enters, the crowd recognized this and views this as him being the Messiah. But their perspective really is one of the one who would save them from the political system that they were under. They were looking for a deliverer in the day. There was certainly a lot of excitement on that day. Interesting to note, of course, that a week later, or less than a week later, actually, the cries of the crowd were to crucify him. So a very interesting situation within the next few days. We find Jesus entering not as conquering king on a horse, but suffering savior on a donkey. As we sang in the song, Lord save us, that's really what Hosanna means. Lord save us. The crowd was shouting the right thing, but for the wrong reasons, okay? Interesting how words have a way to do that sometimes, right? That we can say certain things and sometimes we aren't getting what it really means and what we really mean. I mean, communication is so complicated. We're told that the reason that so many came to see him was because they had heard about him raising Lazarus from the dead. So everybody was excited to see this one who could raise someone from the dead. And the Pharisees were saying that they could do nothing to stop him since so many were going after him. That's where we pick up today's passage. This begins with some Greeks wanting to see Jesus and leads to a message from Jesus. And so that's what I've entitled this today, Jesus' Palm Sunday message. Certainly a message far different from the expectations of the crowd. So we're in John chapter 12, verses 20 to 26, but I'm going to go through this passage in sections. So the first passage is going to be verses 20 to 23, John 12, 20 to 23. You'll see it on the screen. We read here that some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." Kind of an interesting piece here on Palm Sunday. I mean, certainly it was a Jewish holiday, okay? The Passover was a Jewish celebration. They were remembering, of course, on an annual basis, celebrating the Passover, remembering God's deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt. Okay, they had been enslaved. And of course, you know the whole story with Moses and Pharaoh. Okay, but it is the remembrance of God sparing them when they were told to sacrifice the lamb without blemish and put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and then the angel of death that would take the lives of the firstborn in Egypt passed over the Israelites. And then, of course, that led to them actually being led out of Egypt. So it's a time of celebration and remembrance, and it's Jewish. And so in the midst of this, we find here some Greeks, okay? And actually, the term Greeks here is Gentile, okay? It really is meaning people that aren't Jews, okay? They're not Jews that speak Greek, okay? These are Gentile people, non-Jews. And so they come, and they ask Philip. Now, we don't know exactly why they asked Philip. Most commentators say probably because Philip's name is Greek, all right? Now, Philip was Jewish, but his name was Greek, and they probably kind of connected with Philip's name being Greeks, and so they went to him. And it's kind of interesting that we read that Philip didn't go directly to Jesus with their request. You notice that. He asked Andrew to go along. We don't know why that either. From a human perspective, perhaps he was a little nervous to take this information to Jesus on Passover Day and a celebration, and these Greeks wanting to meet him, and there's a people all around, and I'm sure he wasn't sure how the response would be, so he thought, well, maybe Andrew, who seems to be the guy that often goes to Jesus, I mean, he's the guy that found the fish and the bread from the little boy. I mean, we have a lot of situations. He's the one that brought Peter to Jesus. I mean, Andrew's that guy. Okay. And so he, again, is that guy and goes with Philip to Jesus. And they went together to ask Jesus, apparently, if he would meet with these Gentile people. All right. Now what we find here, of course, is as we look into what Jesus says, it's interesting that he doesn't seem to say anything to the Greeks. He doesn't seem to say anything directly to their request. There's no evidence in this text that them coming to him, wanting to meet him, is addressed directly by him. But it does lead us into what we're going to be looking to today as about what he has to say. Now, the first thing he says, of course, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. We don't really know what the Greeks were looking for in wanting to meet Jesus. The fact that they were in Jerusalem at Passover indicates to me, and certainly other commentators, that they were in Jerusalem to be a part of the Passover celebration. I mean, we could probably say with some confidence that they were God-seeking people, all right? And so I'm sure that they got word or they had witnessed what Jesus had been doing. Maybe they were there in the midst of these who were there following Jesus because of hearing about Lazarus. We don't know. But they were there. Now, as Gentiles, of course, they would be allowed to be in the area, but not really be a direct part of the Passover celebration. If you look back in Exodus 12:48, it says, if there are foreigners living among you who want to celebrate the Lord's Passover, let all their males be circumcised. Only then may they celebrate the Passover with you like any native-born Israelite, but no uncircumcised male may ever eat the Passover meal. Interesting qualification there. I mean, obviously the level of commitment that was demanded to be a part of the people of God at that time was part of this situation. And probably they weren't a part of that. We don't know what they wanted to see or hear. Just maybe curiosity, some personal desire to just meet him because of his popularity. But, you know, I'm not sure, but I have a feeling that they didn't hear what they thought they were going to hear, okay? I think that's a general principle, isn't it? Many times when we come to the Lord, when we come to Jesus, many times we have things we think we need to hear or want to hear. We have our purposes. We have our desires. But many times our expectations are not met because his ways are different than our ways. Certainly his ways are higher than our ways. His ways are the right ways. And so Jesus begins to speak about what needs to be heard here as they come to him. You see, coming to Jesus does not always give us what we came for, but it will always give us what we need if we allow him to be who he is in our lives. In this first sentence, Jesus indicates that the time has come for his earthly ministry to be completed. Now, there very well could be significance. I mean, God's put his word together for us here, okay? So there's definitely significance in the Greeks coming and him making that statement. Why? Because certainly all of the ministry of Jesus up to this point, he's made it clear, has been to the Jews, all right? His 12 disciples are Jewish, all right? Remember the Gentile woman came to the table and he said he was not here for them. He was here for the others. But he still ministered to people. I mean, he did some ministry with people who weren't Jews. But now, he says, the time has come. Now he is saying, I'm moving into what I came for. And what I came for was not just for the Jews, but for all people. The Jews are the means that God has used throughout time First of all, to be his representative in the Old Testament among the nations, but certainly to be the group of people where the Messiah would come through. And so Jesus, Jewish. He born to a Jewish family, okay? His mother, Jewish, okay? Certainly father is the fatherhood of God and the Holy Spirit, you know, conceived. But he is a Jewish person, all right? And he has come to be the Messiah. Certainly, and the Jews are looking for that, but he has come for all people. And so the Greeks' presence and interest in Jesus is a sign that Jesus is coming not only to his own people, but now that's complete, and his death and resurrection would be for all who would believe. He came for everyone. Aren't we thankful as we celebrate here today? As the Passover was for the Jews to remember God's deliverance from Egypt, but was also for non-Jews who fully committed to God, so Jesus' deliverance is for all who will fully commit to him. And that leads to the rest of this Palm Sunday message. Jesus came to die for the sins of the world. And he's able to do that because he is who he says he is here. Jesus says now that he is, in verse 23, the Son of Man. He says, for the Son of Man has come. And he has come now at this point to enter into his glory. Son of Man, interesting phrase that Jesus used of himself. It's a phrase that the Jewish people who were familiar with the Old Testament would recognize as a term used in Daniel chapter 7. And in Daniel chapter 7, there's a vision, and the prophet sees one like a Son of Man, to whom the Ancient of Days gives universal power and sovereignty. It's a distinct messianic phrase. And the Gospels use this name to speak of Jesus' suffering and coming glory. And here, Jesus uses this title as he speaks of his coming death and glory, making clear he is the awaited Messiah who brings salvation to all who will follow him. So the things he says next point to the significance of his coming death on the cross. Often we don't think about that on Palm Sunday. We think about the entry as king, and certainly he is king. He will come back as king. He is ultimately the king. But at this point in time, he did not remain in that realm of thinking because he wanted everybody to know he came as the one who would suffer and die for the sins of the world. He came as the suffering servant. And so let's look at the next verses 24 to 30, as we continue in this section. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now, my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, the voice was your benefit, for your benefit, not mine. So Jesus begins in this section a message to all people that life comes through death. He gives the illustration from agriculture to begin with of this truth. He says, unless a kernel of wheat dies, productive life does not occur. But if it does die and new life sprouts from it, there is a plentiful harvest of new lives. I mean, we're in the period of the year, in the seasons, when the farmers are going to be going out with pieces of things that don't look like anything we would want to expect to become a big plant. These little seeds, they're dead, right? And they stick them in the ground. And they don't go back every day and dig them up to make sure they're okay, right? They trust that it's going to happen. Yeah, and we always enjoy living near the farm fields and watching it happen and how every day the fields look a little bit different, a little different colors, you know, a little different progress. And then eventually, of course, in the fall, you know, the harvest takes place because there was a move of commitment that the seed would be put in to die, then to become alive. And if that wasn't followed by faith, right? I mean, there is faith in this, right? I mean, even though the farmers know it works because they've seen it before, they could say, well, I don't know. Maybe I got a better idea. I'll just kind of leave them in a big pile in the basement. Maybe that'll work. That would be crazy. No, they got to have faith in what is right to do. And so Jesus says, just like that is true, then he goes on and makes application because he says this is true for people in our own lives. He says, if we do not die to our connections in this world, we will not have eternal life. But if we do not live for this world and we follow Jesus, we have eternal life now and in the future. And following Jesus means following him in his death. He says his servants must be where he is. As Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we may have forgiveness and spiritually be made alive, we must die to ourselves to be able to receive that life, okay? If you determine that you're not going to give up yourself, if you're not going to give up your claims in this world, if you determine that your hope is not in Jesus but in the world, and you're determined to stay there, you're not going to die to yourself, and you're not going to become alive in Christ. I mean, when we talk about coming to Christ, it's not just saying, oh, yes, Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah. It's not just head knowledge, right? It's got to become more. It's got to become life submission. There's got to be death involved, all right? Certainly, the death of Jesus is the most important part because if he hadn't died, we wouldn't have salvation. But the fact that he has died doesn't mean that we just kind of are automatically in. I mean, there are people who think that, and many people you probably know you're concerned about because, oh, well, I go to church, I've heard the message, and, you know, I'm a Christian because I'm a member of that church, or I did this, or I did that, or I haven't murdered anybody. I mean, sometimes we hear people say that, or I'm an American, so I'm a Christian. I mean, there's all kind of things that people say to say, well, wait a minute. Jesus says, unless you die to yourself and follow me, you're not his disciple. You don't belong to him. That's very serious. You don't want to miss it. Dear friends, if anybody's here today and that's where you're at, I'm not here to beat you up, but I am here to encourage you that Jesus has come for you, that he has died for you, that he does want you to know that he loves you and he gave himself for you. He does want you to know forgiveness of sins and eternal life, but you must die to you to be open to him in order for that which has been dead inside to come alive. And it's amazing what he will do. This is more amazing than that little kernel of wheat becoming all that it is, and the bread you eat today because somebody put it in the ground. Yeah. Amazing. You see, to be where Jesus is, to follow Jesus, is to give up our position in order to have new life. In verse 27, Jesus seems to speak to himself in the crowd. He exhibits to all listening that he himself is making a personal decision to submit himself to the will of the Father and to do what he was sent to do, to bring glory to the name of the Father. Now, the other Gospels record Jesus praying in Gethsemane similar words. Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus came from heaven to become one of us. The mystery of the incarnation, that he was fully God, but also fully man when he was on earth. And he did it because it was God's plan. It certainly was something that he experienced that was not pleasant. Not only dealing with fallen humans for his lifespan on this earth, which I'm sure was very challenging, but actually physically suffering, emotionally suffering, mentally suffering, anguish. Certainly the ultimate of that was on the cross. And we'll be talking or thinking about that this week. You know, I hope you read the passages of his giving himself for us and all the things that he said on the cross. Really good to do that this week as we think about what he's done. You know, but he did it. Not because it was pleasant, for sure it wasn't. It was very painful. And we read in this passage that certainly the humanness of Jesus is evident here, that he doesn't really want to go through the pain. I mean, that would be neurotic. But he did it as a willful choice to glorify the Father, to complete the plan of the Trinity, God himself, that we could become the children of God, that we could be part of his family forever, that we would no longer be slaves to sin, but we would be set free. He did it for you and me. It was a willful choice. He was fully obedient. His sacrifice was complete. He was perfect. He was the perfect Lamb of God, who was slain. Very significant on Passover, as you heard me talk about before, with Jews killing the lamb, putting the blood on the post of the door so that when the angel of death came, it would pass over. When they saw the blood, it passed over, right? So when we accept Jesus, when we die to ourselves and allow him to become Lord of our lives, he comes in, and guess what? Guess what's a part of us? And when God looks at us, you know what he sees? He sees the blood of his Son. Wow. I mean, we don't see it, but it's applied to us. And he sees that blood, and he passes over the wrath that we deserve. He passes over slaying us. He passes over us getting what our sins would deserve, because Jesus took it on himself. And the pain was not just certainly the nails in his hands and feet, and the sword in his side, and the beating, and all of the things he went through, but it was also the separation from the Father, the Trinity. I mean, Jesus for eternity had been connected as the part of the Godhead. And suddenly on the cross, because of our sins, God could not look at him anymore. And there was a separation when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, that, I believe, and many commentators believe, was probably the most painful thing for Jesus. But he did it to glorify the Father, to show the world how much God loves his creation, us. And so, after Jesus submits himself publicly again here to the will of the Father, there's a voice that comes from heaven, a thundering voice. It sounds like the crowd didn't really understand what was being said, but they certainly understood the moment that there was something big going on here. And this is the third time, actually, in the Gospels that we read of a voice from heaven speaking when Jesus is involved. One of them was at his baptism. Okay, you know about that. One of them was on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know about that one. And then there's this moment here on Passover Sunday. And so, really, the purpose Jesus says is that God is affirming what is happening, that Jesus is truly the one sent from God, the one who is the true Messiah, the one we need. Yeah. Because the voice sent from heaven says, I've already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. The glory of God has been seen by the people in his day through the life of Jesus. We see it as it's recorded in the Gospels. Okay? And the glory of God has been seen in Jesus healing, in Jesus raising the dead, in Jesus living the perfect life, in Jesus loving people in spite of their sinfulness, in the gentleness of Jesus, in the goodness of Jesus, in the righteousness of Jesus, in the love of Jesus, all the things that we so desperately desire. Peace. Wow. The world needs it, huh? Where's it going to come from? Only one Prince of Peace. Yeah, we know who he is. I hope you do. Jesus glorifies the Father. And Jesus says to the confused crowd after they hear this voice, they said that this voice was not for him, but for them to know that Jesus is God, that they would come to him, that he would be their Savior. He is the anointed one. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. God was continuing to communicate his plan of redemption to the world. And then Jesus ends this section speaking to the crowd. And so let's read these verses. Actually, we're starting again here in the midst of this on verse 31. The time for judgment, judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. The crowd responded, we understood from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say the Son of Man will die? Just who is this Son of Man anyway? Jesus replied, my light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light. After saying these things, Jesus went away and was hidden from them. Jesus states that his death will lead to victory. Jesus wins over Satan. It will appear that Jesus has lost. He will die. But in his death, he brings judgment by casting out Satan, the ruler of this world. Now, we know that this victory takes place at the cross, but will be fully satisfied and realized for all time in the future when Satan will finally be thrown into the lake of fire. But for us who have believed, we are no longer under Satan's control. We still wrestle with his influence, but we are no longer slaves to him. Through Christ's death, we are made alive and delivered from Satan's power. Paul writes about this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, when he says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. It looked like Satan had won. But the truth is, he was defeated. We know that as we celebrate next Sunday, the resurrection of our Savior, the victory over it all. But Jesus is declaring it. He's declaring it before it happens. He's saying, this is why I'm here. This is what I really want you to know. I really am King. I really am Savior, but it's not maybe like you thought. And in order for you to know about it and to know it fully in yourselves, you need to die to yourself. You need to follow me. You need to be the one that goes my way, not your own, own way. You see, Jesus brings us life by winning the victory over death. The people in the crowd couldn't understand. They said that they understood that from Scripture that the Messiah would not die but live forever. They were only partly right. He would live forever, but for our sakes, he had to die. He is the eternal God, but he left his throne in glory to come down to take our place on the cross. The people still did not recognize him as the Messiah. Just who is this Son of Man anyway, they say. He is. And he gives all who believe in him victory over death. Paul writes of this in 1 Corinthians 15 when he states, "Death is swallowed up in victory. Thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus." And Jesus wins over darkness. His response to the question of who is this Son of Man is to state that he is the light to overcome darkness. He warns them that he will only be with them a little longer, and they need to put their trust in the light while there's still time. And if they do, they will become children of light. They'll no longer be in darkness. Following Jesus is the way to light, the way from that which would keep us from all that God intended for us to become his children and be full of him. John began his gospel. Christmas time we read it. John began his gospel by stating that Jesus is the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone. He came into the very world he created, he says, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Jesus came to die in order to give life. He came into a dark world, a world rebellious against God and ruled by sin, in order to bring light into darkness. Beginning of this section, the Greeks said, "We want to meet Jesus." My question is, did they? Did they really want to meet Jesus? We don't know how they decided. Doesn't say. We do know what Jesus said, that he said, "To really know me, to really meet me, to really know what I came to do, you need give up yourself. You need to give up your attachments to whatever would hold you from him." Okay? And as we do, then we have the promise that we become children of light. We don't know if they trusted him. I know he would desire that they did. But Jesus made it clear that his death was for them too, not just for the Jews. The Gentiles as well. And if they would believe, they would have victory over sin, death, and darkness. His death opened the door for all people, that it was no longer just to be for the Jews. It's always been that way, but he made it very clear as he came to the cross. They would be his disciples if they would follow him. They would be children of light. How about us today? We can want to meet Jesus. Certainly, there's a lot of good reasons to want to be close to him. He is kind and good and loving. And we might even admit sometimes that we fail, you know, and it's nice to know that he doesn't reject us. But do we really meet him? Do we really let him be who he came to be? Do we really do what he says we need to do in order to follow him? Certainly, our salvation is by grace alone, through Christ alone. He's the one that did the work. But we need to respond to what he did. You can know about him without really knowing him in your life. There can be 18 inches of distance between really knowing Christ, from your brain to your heart. Yeah. Hey, it's good to know. Our faith is based on the truth. God has made it clear in His Word. It's not a faith like, oh, well, I'm just going to hope and pray. And no, we have the truth. We know what the Word says. We know what Jesus said. God's preserved it. I mean, you can believe it today just like the Greeks and those standing around would have heard it on Palm Sunday. This is the Word of God. God has preserved it for us to hear today. And so the words of Jesus that were given that day are given to us today. He loves you. He came to die for you. He came to bring you into the light. He came that your sins would be forgiven. He came to die. And He calls for us, in order to know Him, to die as well. Now, I happen to know that accepting Christ really is that step. Personally, I know that. I've seen many others take that step. But I also know that once you take that step, you need to keep dying. Yeah. Paul writes about being a living sacrifice in Romans 12. I heard somebody say one time the problem with living sacrifices, they keep getting up off the altar, right? You've heard that maybe? Yeah. Yeah, we need to keep submitting, don't we? Yeah. I mean, it's not just a once and done deal either. It is in some regards. I mean, certainly acknowledging that Christ has died for me. I do have assurance that His death is sufficient for what I need. That's not what I mean. But as far as walking closely with Him and really following Him, that requires me to continually die to myself. I think it was Tony Evans one time I heard said that he had a funeral every morning, his own. Yeah, good idea. Important. Paul writes in Colossians that in order for us to walk with the Lord, it's the same way that we accept Him as Lord of our life. And that is, how do we accept Him? We give up ourselves. We die to ourselves. We ask Him to take over. And we promise to follow Him. We submit to Him. That's the way we walk with Him, too. Yeah. It's an ongoing thing. So the question comes to us today. Have you really come to know Christ? Or have you just kind of come to meet with Him and it hasn't gone any further than that? Well, dear friends, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can make that decision. Today is the day you can admit, and maybe you've been denying this, okay? Today is the day you can admit freely before God that, hey, I have not really come. I've been hanging around. I have curiosity. I like being with Christian people. They're kind of nice most of the time, right? But where are you? This is a personal thing. Where are you? If you're not sure, make sure. If you're not sure, open your heart to Christ today. He came for you so that you can come to Him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, as we read this, Your Word, we realize that coming to You is more than just praying a prayer, more than just being in church, more than just knowing what You said. But it really is saying, yes, I will follow You, Jesus, wherever You lead me. I will give up that which is not Your way, so that I would fully be going Your way. But I know, Lord, that You've given us the ability to communicate with You in prayer, and that seems to be the avenue. So I encourage everyone here today, Pray. Call out to you. Whatever the need. If it's to finally come, if it's to finally say, yes, Jesus, I understand that you are the Savior of the world, that you are the King of Kings, that without you I'm lost. I need you for my salvation. I cannot pay for my own sins. Thank you for doing that for me. And I want to give you my life. I die to those other things that I've been holding on to. And I give myself to you. Call out to him, dear friend, with that. Jesus promises that whoever comes to me, I will not cast out. He said that whoever believes in me will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And maybe you know the Lord. You've already made that decision, but yet you need to keep dying. Maybe you've kind of gotten off the track a little bit, and things of this world are taking their place in places that Jesus needs to be. And you need to die to those again. Tell him. Thank him for dying for you. And ask him to help you to die to these things. And walk with him and follow him as he calls you. Lord, we bring all these things to you. We thank you that you are the one who can do it all. In your precious name, amen.
We're closing today with a song about identity and dying to self and moving toward the abundant life that Christ gives us when we put our trust in him. This song is called Made for More, and it might be new to some of you. If you know it, feel free to sing along. If you don't, we'll teach it to you, and I'll ask you to stand now as we begin our final song. I know who I am. Cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future. It's worth the living. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending the grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in running my way, I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Sing that again, I know who I am. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only sure.
So why would I make a bed in my shame when the fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Alleluia, you called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise.
For more, you are the object of God's love, that he sent Jesus for you, that when Jesus died on the cross, it was for your sins and for your relationship with God forever. That is overwhelming to think about. I can't grasp it in my head, but I'm thankful in my heart. Amen. All right, that's our hope. We're his. And if you don't know him, or if you prayed today a prayer and you would like some help in thinking that through and getting some encouragement, come on down. We'll talk about it, okay? I'm going to ask the elders to come down and join me as I pray, and we'll be up front here and be glad to pray with you. If you have another prayer need you'd love to bring to us, we'd be glad to pray with you, okay? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege it is to read your word, to hear your word, to apply your word, to see that the truth is the truth, that your spirit is at work, that Jesus is the Messiah, that He is the one who brings change in us for eternity. Lord, may our lives be all that He came to do, that we might yield ourselves to Him, that You might be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, have a blessed week. All right, we come next week to celebrate the resurrection. Hallelujah.